Welcome to the Calvary Came Through broadcast from Chattanooga, Tennessee. We invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes to listen to a message from the Word of God by Brother Ronnie Brown. Join us now as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.
Welcome to the Calvary Came Through broadcast. This is Brother Ronnie Brown. Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter number 14, Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 32. It says in verse 28, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth down first and counseleth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. All that behold it begin to mock him, saying, the man began to build and was not able to finish. Or," listen to verse 31, "or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth down first, and counseleth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else," I love verse 32, "or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace." Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we think about considerations of war. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this opportunity. God, I pray that you bless your word as it goes out. God, that it strike at the heart. God, if there's someone out there that is at odds with God, that is at battle with the God of all glory, they've never been saved. They've never come to the Lord Jesus. Oh, may they come today and make peace with the Lord Jesus. God, I love you and I praise you. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. War. Small boys pretend to play with plastic weapons and secret hiding places. Old men have musky uniforms with tarnished brass buttons, and they talk about the grand and glorious days of war. The fact is, the matter is, right now, much of our country, many of our sons and daughters are now faced with the horrors of the separation of war. They've left the arms of loved ones for foreign fields, and now they're out there from the care of their loved ones, and they're out on the battlefields of life, and we worry about them. But we do take confidence in this one fact, that these men and women of our nation, that defend the freedom of other people in our nation, that they've trained, they've studied the art of war, they've armed themselves properly, they've trained, they've done through repetition to get ready and prepared for battle. And so we take confidence that also that the generals that lead these men and women out to war, while they've sat down and with surveillance maps and they've carefully considered all the ins and outs of the battle. They know all about the enemy. They know all of their. They know every what all the enemy has. They sit down and consider it. I mean, we wouldn't feel confident in sending our troops with a bunch of generals that were like weekend warriors going out and playing paintball. No, they've sit down and studied. They realize what they're doing and the direction that they're going. You know, that's our problem today. Is that many of us, we never sit down and consider in this passage Jesus is calling for people to consider, to think about it. Jesus is saying in verse 28 through 30, he's talking about considering the cost of becoming a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether or not, what are the costs involved? You know, when you come to Jesus, there are some costs. It'll cost you your pride. It'll cost you maybe your life. It'll cost every. You lay down all. You don't come to the cross and play your own conditions. It's not a bargaining table. You don't come and say, "Lord Jesus, if you'll do this, and I'll give you this." And no, it's not that. We come to Him and lay all at His feet. Jesus doesn't want haphazard type of disciples. He wants wholehearted, fervent disciples. And so He's talking about the cost of becoming a disciple. And the embarrassing. I've got a. Somebody that lives out near my house and they've started to build a garage, and this may be about, I don't know, years ago, and every time I drive past them, they've got a half-built garage out there, and you know, it's just an eyesore. The man began to plan to build, but he didn't sit down and consider all the costs. And so Jesus is saying, consider the cost of being saved. But on the flip side, if you look at verse 31, he says, consider the cost if you do not make peace with God. If you do not become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what it says in verse 31. It says, or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and counseleth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. And so that's where I can focus today. That's what, listen, have you made peace with God? That's what this verse is talking about. Now, first of all, in this passage, let's consider the adversary. The adversary. Now, you may be saying to yourself, you know, Brother Ronnie, I try to get along with everybody down at the job place, even though they're a heathen down there, or I try to get along with everybody. I try to, you know, I don't want to rock the boat. I want to be able to get along with everybody. What do you mean I've got an enemy? What do you mean I've got an adversary? Well, to the person that is outside of Jesus Christ, God is your enemy. He's the one that you're at odds with. You're at war with God. The battle lines were drawn back in the Garden of Eden. Adam fell in the garden. He partook of the fruit, the forbidden fruit, and now they're at odds. God drew a line in the sand. And when Moses came along, he refined that line. He defined, listen to what Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. And so the sin of man caused there to be a line drawn in the sand. And then Moses came along, and Moses defined it by the law of God. God gave him the commandments. You know the commandments. Thou shalt not have any other gods. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false. All of these commandments to determine what is sin and what is not. To let you know, and many of you out there, while you've lived your life, and even I, before I met Christ, well, I took God's law and I broke it on the ground. And I said, I'll live anywhere I very well please. I'll do whatever I want to. I'll live any way I want to. And when you do that, it's like, you know, neighboring countries out in the, especially in the Middle East, if you've got Iraq and Iran, and let's say somebody from Iraq, the Air Force there, they fly into the airspace of Iraq. Iran flies in the airspace of Iraq. What's going to happen? Why, troops are going to gather at the border. Why, there'll be diplomatic ties will be strained. These countries will find themselves as, you know, that's what you've done. If you're outside of Jesus Christ, you're not saying, why, you've broken God's law. And so God is at odds with you. There's something has to be, this situation must be rectified. You've broken God's universal law. You've taken the Ten Commandments and crushed them on the ground. Listen, something's got to be done. God is holy. God is just. He must judge sin. He is righteous and holy and just. Something's got to be done. You said, I'll do whatever I want to. And so God, he's your adversary. You're at odds with God. That's the only way to put it. Now, think about the might of God. And since you're at war with God, then let's think about what kind of enemy you're up against. Think of the might of God, the might of his creation. I mean, how large a hand does he have? I mean, he takes, the Bible says that the creation of the stars and the galaxies was simply an afterthought. It says in the Bible, and he created the stars also. Oh, the millions and billions of guys, just an afterthought. He just flung it out into space. He's the one that takes the mountains and places them where he will. He's the one that carves out the valley. The Bible says that he measures the water of the ocean in the hollow of his hand. And that's your enemy. That's the might of God, the might of his creation. And what have you ever created that lasts ever? You remember that birdhouse you made in the sixth grade? It's falling apart by now. God's created a world that has lasted for ages and ages. And you're up against him. He's the one that created the fierce and the wild beasts. Why, they're nothing to him. It's a mere thought, a mere fashioning of his hand, of his will. And that's your adversary, the might of his the might of his control. You know, he's the one that bruised the mighty hurricane. He's the one that brews the great tsunami. He's the one that causes the earth to shake. Why, the mighty volcano is just nothing but a candle to him. He is in control of all of the things of this world. The Bible says it in Noah's day that he caused the fountains of the deep to open up. He is in complete control. Nothing is beyond his grasp. The fire and brimstone that rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah, it's all in his hand. It's all under his control. The might of his creation, the might of his control, now the might of his command. Why, under his command, he commands all of the hosts of heaven while they're at his beck and call. He moves nations and commands. He puts people where he will for his own glory and his own honor. The demons of hell, even Satan himself, has to come before the Lord Jesus before he attacks one of his own. And so he has all command. I think about Exodus 15:3. The Lord is a man of war, and the Lord is his name. The old black preacher said about that passage, he said, the Lord is a man of war, and you can't whoop him. The devil can't whoop him, and he sure ain't going to whoop himself, and so nobody can defeat. He has ultimate command. He's the creator of the universe. He has ultimate control, and that's who you've shaken your fist at. What kind of adversary? How are you measuring up as I've laid out this yardstick? How are you measuring up to God? Spurgeon said, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, but the rocks stand still and hurl off the waves of flakes and foam. So doth God when his foes are most enrageous and passionate. Wow, they're just little bitty waves resting up against Lookout Mountain. And so that's what we see when you're thinking about the adversary, that's who you're going up against. Though we've thought about the might, now think of the means of God. The means of God. What are the ways in which God will battle? How will he go to war? He brought judgment upon Israel by the means of warring nations. What will he do in your case? Will he use famine? He used plague in the Old Testament. What will he use today? He can war against your finances. That little cushy job that you got, that you hold so dear, that you worship, he can war against that. It's gone tomorrow. The stock market may crash, all your funds, all your finances, all of your nest egg be gone tomorrow. He can war against your finances. He can war against your frame. You realize that he can touch your body's just dust to him. Why, it's nothing to him. You're just like one preacher says, a glorified mud ball. That's all you are. When Herod gave not glory to God, God smit his body and it was eaten by worms. Your body's nothing to him. He could touch you. He could touch your mind. You're sitting there today listening to me on the radio and you've got a sane thought. You're understanding what I'm saying and you're agreeing or you're listening to what I'm saying and understanding and responding. Hey, he could touch your mind. You'd be a crazy lunatic tomorrow. I mean, you'd be taking peanut butter and rubbing it all over yourself and singing Yankee Doodle Dandy, standing on top of your TV set. Your mind could be gone and find yourself headlong into this battle and no way to control it. Listen, he can war against your frame. He can war against your he can war against your family. Hey, you say, whoa, Brother Ronnie, wait a minute. I mean, he would touch my family? Listen, it's war. There are no rules in war. There are no rules of engagement. It's all fair in love and war. That wife that you so love that supported you and you've neglected for so many years, that Christian wife that's prayed for you, gone tomorrow. That little child that you come home to and so love and so dearly and passionately love every day. That's what you're working for. That's what you love. Gone tomorrow. One sickness, one virus, one bug that you can't even see attack that body and he's gone tomorrow. He can war against your family. So how you measuring up against your adversary? Huh? Hey, listen, think about this war. That's what this scripture's doing. It's saying you need to think about this. Consider what you're getting into. Consider the adversary, but notice also consider the advantage. Now you say, Brother Ronnie, this has been pretty bleak. It's been a pretty dismal sermon. What kind of advantage could I possibly have against the great and mighty and awesome controlling God? Well, look at the text. It says in verse 32, or else while the other is yet a great way off. He's a great way off. The battle has not yet happened. The battle, I love that word or else. There's a choice. The king in verse 31, he's facing odds. Did you notice the number? 10,000 against 20,000. He's outnumbered. So are you when you face God. Oh, but in 32, or else. That doesn't have to be the end. The advantage is the distance from the enemy. It says while the other was yet a great way off, there is an advantage. The war's not yet been fully engaged. The crash and the boom of God's almighty wrath has not yet fallen. Listen, you're seated here wherever you are, whether you're driving down the road, listen on the radio, you're seated there in your right mind. You're understanding what I'm saying. His wrath hasn't fallen yet. You can understand, you can hear, consider, you can make a choice today. The enemy's still a great way off. The enemy, although he's approaching at breakneck speed and he's barreling down the hills towards your kingdom, listen, you can see him coming. That's all that I do. I try to take a telescope and put it in people's eye and say, he's coming, he's coming, his wrath is coming. Listen, consider, think about what you're doing. can contemplate the cost of war. You can feel the rumble of judgment beneath your feet. I think about the book of Hebrews says three times, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today, don't harden your heart. And so many services and service and message after message, our hearts begin to get hard. And we can become that prideful king that knows that the odds are in the other adversaries in favor, but yet he charges on into war. Charges on into the prideful king. Proverbs 6:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before. How many people have went off the precipice of hell, have fallen headlong into the charred walls of the dam because of pride? Because they wouldn't bow a knee at the cross. They wouldn't come and admit their own sin. Listen, don't let pride take you into this battle. You've got an advantage. Just see the enemy come and do something about it. Do something about it while he's heading your direction. You also have another advantage. The distance from the enemy, but the desire of the enemy. Notice the desire, or else while the other is a great way off, he sendeth an embassage. The desire of the enemy. It's an advantage. The opposing king is not vindictive. He's not trying to get even with you. He's just holy. He has to judge sin. Hey, listen, we wouldn't let the drug dealer, the knowing drug dealer, the knowing rapist just get off scot-free. A payment has to be paid. And so how is God more righteous than our court system? More holy, more perfect. And so all sin, I don't care what it is, the breaking of His law must be confronted. It must be reckoned with. It must be dealt with justly. And He would not allow His justice to relax. If He did, He'd be less than holy. He'd be less than perfect. And so we see here, I like what 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. He don't want to get in this battle. He doesn't want, that's why He's coming to you today with a preacher that's showing Him coming down the hillside. He doesn't want this battle to happen. He wants you to see the enemy, see the consequences, and give up and come to repentance. Not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. The battle must be waged for righteousness' sake. But God's not willing to see your certain destruction. He knows the odds. He knows what you're up against. And He's allowing you to see Him coming. But you never know. You never know when it'll run out and when it'll be a sneak attack. You never know when He may come around the corner and His judgment may fall on an unsuspecting king. You never know. I could leave out of this place tonight and gone when I'm two blocks down the road. I don't know. He may attack you if you're without Christ. He may attack you at any moment, any given time, and you have not the security of knowing that you have life eternal, that you have Christ as your Savior, and you're out. Listen, He is long-suffering. He is merciful. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, and because He's not willing that any should perish in this one-sided war, through His grace, through His mercy and long-suffering, He's given you the opportunity to see Him coming. He's not vindictive. He doesn't want to fight this battle. He's not willing that any should perish. He's given you, you've got an advantage. You've got an adversary that you can't win against, but you have an advantage as well. You've got an advantage. Now listen, consider not only the adversary and the advantage, but consider the ambassador. It said in verse 32, He sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. Consider the ambassador. Now, paint a scene in your mind. You're the king of your own kingdom. You look over the hillside through the telescope of God's Word, and you see God coming towards you. Judgment. He's got His hand on His sword of righteousness, His holiness. He's coming towards you. He doesn't want this to happen. It's broad daylight, and He's rushing down the hill towards you. What are you going to do as you sit there and you begin to look at your battle plans and look at how that you're at a great disadvantage and how that there's impossible to win this war? Beads of sweat begin to run down your brow, and then all of a sudden, an ambassador walks in. An ambassador, 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He's an ambassador, a mediator, a go-between. He can relay a message to the king. He's the king's son of the opposing king, the adversary. Why? He's got the ear of the other king. He can go to him. All my attempts will surely fail if I run outside of my city with my baptismal certificate, with my Sunday school attendance. I won't be able to get the opposing. I won't be able to get the adversary's attention with those. I can't change his mind. Oh, but his son. Oh, but the ambassador. Why? The Lord Jesus, He enters into the room tonight and He lays down something on. First of all, think of the availability. availability of the peacemaker, the available. He's the son of the opposing king. He has the king's ear. Although he is perfect and spotless as a king, yet he has been so long walking in your own city. You realize that Jesus came down to this earth, walked the same dust, walked the same path, yet without sin. He knows the infirmities of our heart. He knows the problem. What an ambassador he makes to connect one country to another. He knows my afflictions. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He's touched with the feeling of my infirmities. He was in all points like me, tempted and without sin. Surely he can relay my plea. Surely he can get the message to the king that I want to surrender. He is perfect and he has kept God's righteous law. God will hear him. God will listen to him. I can come to God by on his merit, not on my own merit, but on the merit of Jesus Christ. I can come before the king. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. He is that go-between, the availability of the peacemaker, of the ability of the peacemaker. But notice the availability. Not only the ability of what he can do, but his he's here. Oh, he's here. I don't care if you're in a car driving down the road like I was when I got saved, driving 65 miles an hour. I don't care if you're seated in your home, in the living room or whatever. He's here. Hallelujah. He's here. Amen. He's here. He's here. He's within distance. He's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. If any man thirsts, let him come unto me. He's available to you too. Not only is he available, but he's available personally to you. He said, whosoever will come after me. He said, whosoever liveth and believeth shall never die. Whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever bringeth a drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Whosoever will, let him come take the water of life freely. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy at the cross, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. He has the ability to be a go-between, to be an ambassador. He's got the availability. He's here. He's accessible. Oh, call on him. But now think about the authority of the peacemaker. Think about it. Ambassador Jesus walks into the command center of your heart. He holds a parchment in his hand and he lays it on the table. He rolls it out and right away you notice it's the peace treaty. Oh, he rolls it out. It's written in a deep, rich red blood that was shed on Calvary. What are the terms of the peace treaty? Before you sign it, you need to take a look at it. What are the terms? 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's the next point? What's the next condition? Matthew 16:24, and Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. John 10:26, he said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of their hand. You understand that by surrendering to this opposing king, you realize that he's not oppressive. You know, a lot of times a country surrenders to another, especially in those olden days, they would come in and oppress the Roman government. They'd come in and oppress, subdue the people. They'd be oppressive to them. Oh, but God the Father is not like that. Matter of fact, when you come to his kingdom and you surrender to him, you sign the peace treaty with God, admit you're a sinner, surrender to the Lord Jesus, you know what? He makes you a part of his kingdom. Oh, he places a royal ring. He adopts you into his family. Why? Why? He puts a purple robe of royalty on you. He puts a ring on your finger. He makes you something that you weren't before. You're no longer at odds, but you're in the family of God for all of eternity. Oh, consider. Think about it. Listen, sinner out there, you've never come to the Lord Jesus. You've never been saved. Think about it before you go into this battle. Remember, do you have the strength for this battle? This king was outnumbered 2-1. Oh, we're outnumbered 10,000, 10 million times 10 million when we come to the Lord, oh, the God Almighty and his righteous law. Hey, by the Paul said that the law was so that every mouth could be stopped. When you face him, you won't be able to say one word. Oh, listen, you can't face of it, but you do have an advantage. Oh, that's what I want to impress to you today. You've got an advantage. You've got a moment of light, an opportunity to make peace to the King, with the King. I'll never forget the night where God, Jesus Christ, He laid that treaty down, and I fell on my knees and surrendered and signed it in the rich red blood of Jesus Christ. And I ended this battle. I ended this conflict. I became a part of His nation, a part of His kingdom, a part of His people. Oh, submit. Don't let pride throw you headlong into this. Repent and turn and from your rebellious ways. Return to the Lord Jesus. Have you been given the ministry? Listen, I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Listen, all I do is take the looking glass and point it at the Lord Jesus, and point it at God Almighty in His holy wrath, and point it at the Lord Jesus, the peacemaker. That's all that I hear. I'm supposed to, is reconciliation. I'm supposed to take the hand of God and the hand of man, and through Jesus Christ put them back together. Listen, come to the Lord Jesus today. Be reconciled. Consider, think about what you're getting into. Think about this battle. Think about what you're heading headlong into. Don't go into this war. You cannot win. Submit to the Lord Jesus today. Bow a knee. I tell Jesus, I surrender. I sign the fact that I'm a sinner. I sign the fact that I cannot give my way to heaven on my own. I sign the fact that there's no way I can win this war. Oh, but I sign the fact that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He took my penalty. He was my go-between. And I sign the fact that I say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and take over my nation. Come take control. I submit to your command. I'll submit to your kingdom. Come into me today. And so do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh God, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the day that I made peace with you. Oh, that the peacemaker, the Lord Jesus, He came in. He was available. He had the authority to come in and lay a peace treaty down. And I signed it. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm no longer at odds with you. No more battles to be fought. I don't have to look over my shoulder and to see a surprise attack anymore. I'm part of your kingdom. I'm part of your authority. I fall under your command. And you made me a son of God. To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And God, I pray that you'd take this message and use it for your honor and for your glory. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Be sure and tune in next week to the Calvary Came Through broadcast. I would like to make a special thank you to all you that have given and helped us. So this was a step of faith, and many of you have stepped up and have been able to help us, and we certainly appreciate it. And I can't get over what a blessing this has been. And so you keep coming back, tuning in to Calvary Came Through, and listen as we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and how that Calvary can come through for you.
That when Calvary came through once again.
It is our prayer that today's message has been a help and blessing to you. If you would like to receive a free CD copy of today's message, simply write to Brother Ronnie at Calvary Came Through, care of Temple Baptist Church, 3204 Clio Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37407. This program is also rebroadcast on the internet at www.calvarycamethrough.info. You can email Brother Ronnie at rbrown@calvarycamethrough.info. Please join us again next week at this same time as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.